Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg. Thank you for listening in. The weather predictions for this week are kind of remarkable. Today, sunny. Tuesday, sunny. Wednesday, sunny. Thursday, sunny. And so on through Sunday, with temperatures in the high 60s and low 70s during the days. As if Mother Nature might be trying to make up with us after flash floods and severe thunderstorms. I know that many of you spent this weekend dealing with wet basements and flooding. So on a less cavalier note, the sunny weather is good news for drying out basements and especially for flooding that is still occurring, especially in north and eastern Iowa. I was standing in my father's kitchen on Thursday night, talking on my cell phone and eating a piece of fruit during the thunderstorm when there was this enormous thunder crash that felt, well, personal, and everything went white around me. The piece of fruit flew out of my hand, and the doorbell started ringing and kept ringing. I smelled burning electronics, so I followed my nose into the living room and discovered that the television was dead, completely dead, and I picked up the landline phones, and they were all making kind of a horrible noise and were also dead, and the air conditioner had stopped, and the electric car door would not work. I felt pretty sure our house was hit, probably through the TV antenna. So I ended up thinking a lot about lightning, and I looked around and talked to some people about lightning and have learned a few things since then about it. It's one of those things that happens and seems to come from the heavens, literally, and yet what are the ground rules here? Or what are the grounding rules here? So here is a random collection of information about lightning that I gathered during the past few days in no particularly scientific order. First of all, it actually is questionable whether Ben Franklin's kite flying expedition with lightning actually happened or if it had the results in discovering the nature of electricity. Skeptics point to the lack of hard evidence backing his version of the experiment, and it's not even really been possible to duplicate what he did. And there were no witnesses and only vague accounts from Franklin himself. Speaking of myths, lightning strikes many places, apparently. It is not true that it never strikes the same spot twice. In fact, the Empire State Building in New York is struck by lightning on the average of 23 times each year and was once struck 8 times in a row in 24 minutes. About 70% of lightning occurs on land in the tropics, where the majority of thunderstorms occur. The North and South Poles have the fewest lightning strikes. Apparently, the place where lightning occurs most often is near a small village called Kifuka in the mountains of Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. And also Singapore is a hotspot for lightning. In the United States, Florida, Central Florida, sees more lightning than any other area, with the highest number of recorded strikes during the summer. This is because much of the state is a peninsula, resulting in the daily development of clouds that produce thunderstorms. The West Coast has the fewest lightning strikes, probably due to its proximity to desert climates. Over 1,000 people get struck by lightning every year in the United States, and over 100 of them die as a result of the strike. Yes, it is very deadly, as we all know. And lying flat on the ground was once thought to be the best thing to do if caught in a lightning storm outside. But this is actually also a myth, because when a lightning bolt hits the ground, its current fans out from the strike center in a tendril pattern, and it can be fatal up to 100 feet away from the point of strike. So in order to maintain your chance of not getting struck or being struck as little as possible, you have to minimize both your height and your body contact with the Earth's surface. So the so-called lightning crouch with your head covered has also proven to not significantly increase safety, but it is better than lying flat. In other words, it's just not safe to be outdoors during a lightning storm. And if you want to see something really kind of strange and interesting and a little bit scary, Google Lichtenberg scars on the internet. However, if you're camping or away from the house for other reasons, or if you're an animal in the wild, it is best to stay away from hilltops, tall objects like isolated trees, and it is best to stay in low areas or ravines. And of course, always stay away from water or metal objects, which will attract and conduct electricity for long distances. However, lightning can reach you indoors as well. especially if you're in contact with the telephone or plumbing. Plumbing because it's connected to metal. If lightning strikes the phone line outside your house, the strike will travel to every phone on the line and potentially to you if you are holding the phone. So if you are indoors during a lightning storm, stay off of the phone if it's a landline. About 4 to 5% of people struck by lightning are struck while talking on a corded phone. If you must call someone, use the cordless or cell phone, and that way you're not in contact with any wires that run outdoors. Surge protectors don't protect against lightning strikes, so try to unplug devices like televisions, computers, and anything else attached to a cord. So use a cell phone during a thunderstorm, and stay away from indoor plumbing and metal window and door frames, which are also lightning conductors. Now, back to my dad's house. He does not think that lightning hit our house. He says two things happen with electricity. My father's a scientist. One is an electric current with mass, for instance, lightning hitting the TV antenna directly. And the other is electric field, which has no mass but lots of energy. He claims that lay people highly underestimate the energy field aspect of electricity, and he claims that I assume our house was hit because, like most people, I do underestimate the power of the electric field, which means that lightning hit near our house, and I just experienced white light and all, the field, which, by the way, has enough energy to fry the TV, fry the thermostats for the air conditioning, fry the electric garage door, the phones, and to ring the doorbell. It's just showing off there. As for the food that flew out of my hand, he thinks that was just me being so surprised by all of this. He does not think the electricity lifted the food out of my hand. I still think it does. Moral of the story for him, electric fields are important and should not be overlooked. Moral of the story for me is do not talk on a landline in an electric storm and unplug all your electric devices.
And have we got news for you?
You better listen.
Get ready, all your lonely girls, and leave those umbrellas at home.
All right.
It's rising.
Rising.
Love is getting low.
How low, girl?
According to all sources.
What sources now?
Streets the place to
we better
go.
Hurry up.
It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls, and this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg. Thank you for listening in. It was just recently that the Chinese Mid-Autumn Festival occurred simultaneous with the full harvest moon, and Chinese American members of the community came to KHOI to describe this on Local Talk last week. And in the course of our discussion, I learned that there is a Chinese language school for children in Ames, which was news to me. And furthermore, as an extension of that school, one of its leaders is now arranging to help adults also learn Chinese. Due to the efforts of Ames resident Ms. Yingtao Wang, Chinese conversation sessions will begin at the Ames Public Library for any adult that would like to learn or practice Chinese. I got together with Yingtao in the studio along with Chinese American resident of Ames, Sinyan Hyung Durbin, to discuss this. I want to tell you here some of what I learned about the Chinese school, but first I want to share with you some of what I learned about language, history, and some of what it means to bring such a rich history and tradition to life here in Iowa as an immigrant. I started out the conversation with Sinyan and Yingtao Wang by asking them what they wanted to accomplish by bringing Chinese conversation to the public library.
The Chinese language school only covers school-aged children from K to 12. So this conversational class is open for the public, for the adults.
We have adults ask us, do you have class for adults?
You are getting feedback that adults want to learn Chinese, and you're responding to that demand, really.
The demand, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you're really getting a demand for adult
yes.
education.
Yes.
So what exactly is going to happen during these sessions? How long are they?
1.5 hours.
90 minutes.
90
yes,
minutes.
90 minutes. Per session.
Per session.
Yes.
And what happens during these 90 minutes?
We will have topics each time. At the very beginning, we will introduce why people, how people thinking about it. And how do you think? It's not only learn Chinese. How is Chinese thinking? It's also Chinese culture. And also the China philosophy is different from American. So if you can speak both Chinese and English, in the future, you will have more opportunity. You will understand people both from West or both from East.
The goal of the Chinese conversation at the library is cultural as well as linguistic. It's to introduce Chinese culture and to make a stronger connection.
Yes, because I believe every language is not only the language, it's culture. So that is.
So it's an expression of the culture?
Yes. Once you learn language, it's not only the language, it's also the culture behind mm-hmm. of the language. That is our goal in Ames Public Library. We will have this conversation in Chinese, so you can improve your Chinese conversation skill. Also, you will understand how the people came from another land, how they're thinking. It's more like international, global culture.
A person has to know Chinese before they can do this.
No, you can still come and join us because you can learn.
So if you're a person that doesn't speak any Chinese and you come to this.
Yes, and we have a lot of volunteers involved in this program. So we will break into groups, 1-to-1 or 1-to-2, to take the conversation.
Oh, so the conversations will be 1-on-1.
Yeah, 1-on-1 or 1-on-2.
Okay, yeah. So people will break into groups.
Yes.
You are put together with somebody who speaks Chinese.
Yes.
And then what happens? How do you have a conversation if you don't understand Chinese?
Right. Yes, but you can learn a little few word.
So what does the person teaches you a word?
Yes, because it's 1-on-1 or 1-on-2, and they can let you know, okay, today's topic, for example, about greeting. Okay, we can practice 你好, uh-huh. and it's a conversation already.
So coming to the session, Chinese language is not a prerequisite.
So if you don't speak Chinese, it kind of turns into a little mini Chinese class where you learn a word or learn a phrase.
Yes.
There's an equivalent language program in the library, which is to teach English.
Yes.
And if you don't know the language, you learn a little bit.
Yes.
And because it's one-on-one, it's flexible in
yes.
terms of meeting everybody's needs.
Yes.
Is it fun?
It is. Yes, it is. Because they have a really good group of the volunteer.
The leaders in this Chinese conversation group, they will be the teachers from the school?
No, the leader. For our conversation in Chinese, we have Iowa State PhD program students. And we have scholars, Chinese scholars.
Chinese scholars.
Yes.
And you were explaining to me earlier that Chinese scholars are people who come from both Taiwan and the mainland China. Chinese professionals or academics who come
yes.
for a year into the United States sponsored by their government to do research and to interact with the university.
Yes.
So how many do you have ready to do this?
The first time we will see how many people will come. We don't know how many people will come.
Right. How did you choose the instructors?
I know them, what you are studying or what you are doing here. And they must speak Mandarin Chinese.
Mandarin
Chinese.
Instructors who has the standard Mandarin pronunciation.
Chinese that you're speaking in at the library is Mandarin Chinese?
Yes.
And it's an official spoken language.
And we want the people learn professionally.
It's the official spoken language of China?
Because there are thousands of dialects across the country.
They may speak different Chinese.
Mm-hmm. So this is the official spoken language, so people can understand each other.
There are a lot of different dialects in China, a lot of different ways to speak Chinese.
Thousands.
Yes. What makes Mandarin the national language?
The last Chinese monarchy was Qing Dynasty, and these are people from the Manchuria area.
So that's a northern part of China, Manchuria?
Northeastern China.
Northeastern China. Mm.
The Qing Dynasty established their capital city in Beijing.
They were from Manchuria?
They are from Manchuria. So Mandarin was the official language of Qing Dynasty, and that started from then.
And when was that?
That was the 19th century. That ended at 1911. China. That was the last of Chinese monarchy of China.
So this was the dynasty that existed before
Before the Republic.
The Nationalists.
But the founding father was Sun Yat-sen.
Sun Yat-sen. Mm-hmm. And the last one of those was Chiang Kai-shek.
In 1949, Chiang Kai-shek established the nationalist government in Taiwan in 1949.
What is the difference between the Taiwan government and the Chinese government coming from Beijing?
There are two separate countries, two separate governments. There are multiple parties in Taiwan, but the mainland is a communist government.
The Mandarin was carried over
from Qing Dynasty.
From the Qing Dynasty, and it has remained the official language.
Right.
Do you like the way it sounds?
I do, very much.
Yeah.
It's like if you speak good Mandarin, it's like you're listening to Oxford English, equivalent. It's really beautiful. The tonation, the richness, even though I love my dialects, but.
And now, is it written differently than the other Chinese?
No, that's the only one good thing that unified China is we have only one written language. But without Mandarin, everybody was speaking their native tongue, people would not understand it at all. But good thing is that we have one unified written language.
So when you see written Chinese, that is always the same.
Correct.
Yes.
Different people from different regions of China read it differently phonetically.
But Mandarin is the official language, and it's taught everywhere in school in China now?
Yes.
And that will be taught in these conversation?
Yes.
Mandarin Chinese will be spoken in these conversations?
Yes.
So it's possible that some of the people that will come to the conversation classes are Chinese people who want to get better at Mandarin Chinese?
Could be.
Yes.
I mean, we have something similar here. People want to learn standard American English. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen so much in Iowa because in Iowa we speak standard American English. Doesn't make sense to me. But
yeah, when we moved to Iowa and we found it's really easy to understand the people around.
Yeah, it's standard American English. Yeah. Okay, so that's Mandarin conversation.
Yes, every month, first and third Wednesday from 6 to 7:30
p.m.
And our location is the second floor. From Ames Public Library, the studio. If you go up to the stairs, go to the right side.
Every first and third
Wednesday.
Wednesday evening at the public library upstairs in the studio.
Yes, 6 to 7:30 p.m.
6 to 7:30 p.m. Okay. And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am your host for this hour, Ursula Rudenberg, and we've been listening to a recording of a discussion that I had last week with two Chinese American residents in Ames, Yingtao Wang and Xinyan Zhang Durbin. They did give me a brief lesson in the immigrant experience of having to introduce yourself and your culture while finding a place in a community at the same time. Ying Xiaowang initiated Chinese Conversation for Adults at the Public Library, which is really a gift and a service for many Americans and possibly some Chinese Americans in today's globalized world. The conversations at the library will begin the first Wednesday in October, which is October 5th. It was mentioned several times that this project is kind of a spinoff from the Chinese Language School for Children that has existed in Ames for many years. And so I did ask about the school since I wasn't even aware that there was such a thing in the area. What is the Ames Chinese Language Academy?
It is a language school. We are teaching Chinese.
The language school has been around for over 20-some years. There was an established program by Taiwan Cultural Affairs Office in Chicago, originated by the people in Ames, mostly ISU faculty members who came and settled here from Taiwan and Hong Kong.
And the school resides in the Chinese church here in Ames?
That's correct. Chinese Ifri Evangelical Church. And West Ames, right next to Jack's.
Is the school part of the church, or do they just use the building?
They rent the rooms for the classes on Sundays for 2 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Ames Chinese Language Academy is really an independent organization that was started with the help of the Taiwan government.
Yes, and we are going.
Are you becoming a nonprofit incorporated organization in Iowa, or are you?
That is our goal, to apply
for nonprofit status.
Yes.
And is it still supported by Taiwan?
They no longer are supporting the school.
How is the school supported now?
Self-support by tuition for the operation. They just basically break even.
How many people are teaching at the school?
We have 11 classes.
11 classes.
Yes.
And how many teachers?
We have 9 teachers.
Nine teachers.
Yes.
And who are they?
There are students' parents.
They're parents of the students in the school?
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
the alumni's parents. Originally, there's a lot of Taiwan Chinese kids. And then it evolved. Now there's a lot more kids from mainland Chinese families and all other backgrounds.
People, they want to learn more Chinese. It's a benefit for them if they can learn Chinese when they were really young. And it's not only like they can take a conversation with their grandparents in China, it's but also the China economics growing a lot. So the students and our school, they are learning Chinese. Parents hope they may work in China.
Also, there are 2 classes with the non-Chinese speaking kids, and there are other kids from other ethnic groups.
Yes, mostly really positive response.
You go through a lot of effort to introduce Chinese culture to people here in Ames.
Yes.
Why do you do this?
For me, people are different, but never wait. Try to introduce yourself. Do you understand?
Yeah, you're saying people are different, but it's our job to reach out and introduce ourselves to people that are different from us.
Yes.
And not to wait for them to understand you.
That is my point. Thank you. Yes.
So this is your personal mission.
Yes.
So what do you get out of it?
When I realized that I will live in America for the rest of my life, and also my kids, they're American, Chinese American. They will live in America for the rest of their life. So Ames is really nice city here, and the people try to understand each other. Still, my kid got a lot of things in the school.
Racially based remarks?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel they're outside of the group in the school. So that's why I did a lot of program in Ames community, because I'm thinking, okay, we are here. America is the home for us. Please understand us. And I want to show my children, okay, my English is not good, but I'm trying to do my best to live in this land. You will be strong here, because here's your home.
Do you get a good response?
Yes, I do. Ames Public Library, they are really good response for us.
So you really are a cultural diplomat.
Yes.
So that's Mandarin conversation.
Every month, first and third Wednesday from 6 to 7:30
p.m.
And this is a class that basically is one-on-one attention or almost one-on-one attention.
Yes.
So there's nothing to be afraid of here.
No. You don't have to do public speak.
No public speaking.
Yep.
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming and telling us about this.
Thank you. 谢谢. And please remember our time.
6 to 7:30 p.m., first and third Wednesdays at the public library, upstairs in the studio room.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you to both of you. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and I'm your host for this hour, Ursula Rudenberg. The Ames Running Club and the sorority Alpha Omicron Pi are holding their annual Run for the Roses. 5K run, health walk, 10K run with kids fun run has been an Ames fall tradition since 1987 to raise money for arthritis research.
My name is Galen Wilkie, and I'm with the Ames Area Running Club. For 30 years, the Ames Area Running Club and Alpha Omicron Pi sorority have jointly held a 5K and 10K race in the fall, and all the proceeds go to the Arthritis Foundation. So this is our 30th year, and it's Sunday, October 9th. The 5K starts at 9 a.m., and at 9:45 out on the middle school football field is a kids' race. And the 10K starts at 10 a.m. So the race has usually attracted between 1,000 and 1,200 runners. And we have Mortensen clothes and State Street clothes because we use both of those for the race. There's an award ceremony in the middle school commons there. And everybody gets a long-stemmed red rose when they leave. So it's a kind of a feel-good event all the way around. Following the race, we have an omelet breakfast cooked by the sorority women, cooked to order by about 30 sorority women in a row, all with a little cooking pan, and you get to choose your ingredients. And if you just want to come and have a breakfast, you can just come and pay just for a breakfast as your donation to the Arthritis Foundation. And we've had good success. Last year, we donated $25,000 to the Arthritis Foundation, and we'd really like to get up to a $30,000 donation level. This year, we're being supported by the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, who's given us a grant to promote the event further outside of Ames. So that's kind of the whole story. It's just a great event. The 5K and 10K race, we prefer pre-registration. We also take same-day registration. And that registration process is through a website called getmeregistered.com. And if you're a student, you can also register on Access Plus. and the kids race doesn't require pre-registration. The fees go up on October 1, so you'd want to register before October 1. To register, you go to getmeregistered.com, or if you're a student, you go to Access Plus. We really prefer you pre-register, but we welcome you on day of the race as well. My name is Galen Wilkie. I'm with the Ames Area Running Club.
There's a lot happening in our area, especially in this time of year, and we're kind of dedicating this whole local talk show to looking at various opportunities of what can be done in the area. We have a wide variety of cultural, athletic, and just generally socially beneficial activities that can occur in our area and that you can be part of. The Ames Community Arts Council will be holding their annual Ames Area Arts Studio Tour. And that's going to be happening October 8th and 9th. The KHOI is actually a stop on the tour, so we're proud to be part of that, and we hope you'd come by and have a chance to see us at the studio. We're going to be taking recordings of whoever wants to record a station ID for us. There is actually a really impressive and large array of artists in this tour that we want you to know about. So in the local talk shows leading up to this tour, we're going to be playing some information about these artists as teasers with just short descriptions of some of whom you will be able to visit. Here is Connor Keenan, intern for the Ames Community Arts Council, and he will introduce the first artist.
Hello, my name is Connor Keenan, and I'm an intern for the Ames Community Arts Council, inviting you to the 2016 Ames Area Studio Tour. October 8th and 9th, 20 Ames artists will open their studios to the public for a great inside look at local art. Here's a little bit about artist Dan Marks and his studio. Bright colors, electric, dreamlike, and expressive. That is just a start in describing the work of Dan Marks, a local acrylic painter who is a graduate of Columbia College in Missouri, knew as early as first grade that creating is something that he wanted to do. I paint for myself, he said in the description of growing up as an artist. Starting out, Marks worked with a variety of media, using materials like nylon, aluminum, plastic, and more to create three-dimensional paintings. What exactly is a three-dimensional painting? Marks described it as a complete mix of materials shaped into a setting where the paint is the primary medium. His current work, however, focuses in media that is shifted to acrylic paint on canvases. I like painting as an experience, said Marks, in describing a series of pieces depicting small towns and settings all over the country. I don't like to place people in a setting so that the viewer can feel that they are there by themselves. It is all about their experience and being in that place, he said. While Marks mentioned how he looks to the work of Van Gogh, Larry Rivers, and many more, the local artist gave some great advice himself. Always be evolving. There is no right or wrong way to paint. In participating in the studio tour next month, Marks is most excited to share his work with visitors, inviting them to his home, which is like art, a gallery in and of itself. Since I paint for me, all I can do is hope that they like it. To learn more about Dan Marks, please join us on our Ames Area Studio Tour from 10 a.m. Saturday, October 8th, to noon and noon to 4 on Sunday, October 9th. Don't forget about the after party from 6 to 9 p.m. at Alluvial Brewing Saturday night. For more information, please visit www.amesart.org.
Here on Local Talk, we like to highlight people in the community who are doing remarkable things in their part of the world, but who we might not know about unless you were really looking for them. Of course, our Local Talk reporters are always looking, and Greta Anderson found one such local treasure, or rather a pair of local treasures, and prepared this segment to share with us.
Here on Local Talk, we have a special segment for you previewing a tiny desk concert or something like it that is going to be offered by two Ames musicians, Eric Coleman and Lizzie Crow, who together make up Cheshire Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a evocative name that kind of rings true to your roots, it seems, or your inspirations in folklore and storytelling and mythology.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A friend of ours actually gave us that name right after we had written our first song. She was one of the first people to hear it. And she had, I believe, texted Eric when she came up with the idea. And I've never seen a man get online so fast in my entire life.
Our friend Zap, you know, texted me going, Cheshire Moon. I just hopped online and went, somebody must have called a band this at some point. And really no one had. So we got really lucky with that. And there's that, you know, mischievous feel to it. There's that kind of dark feel to it. There's that playful feel to it. that we looked at it and went, that's exactly what we want to do. That's exactly what we want this band to be.
Right. You've got the Cheshire Cat and you have the mm-hmm. moon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Very strong goddess influence, it seems, to some of this
Absolutely.
Work. So tell us a little bit about this desk concert. It's September 29th. It's actually a home concert that you will be broadcasting from your home.
Yes, it is something that we do on a fairly regular basis. It's called a house concert, and it's exactly what it sounds like. People come into our home. We have a bit of a small potluck, and then there is a musical performance. This time it's us, and we're going to be broadcasting it online via Concert Window. Concertwindow.com is basically a way to Skype. Without actually using Skype, it's a way to Skype and then broadcast an entire concert so that a whole lot of people can watch it. And it enables artists like us who don't get to travel as much to be able to reach fans who don't get a chance to see us very often. We don't travel, you know, to the Far East Coast, to the Far West Coast very often. And so the fans that are on either coast that are also across the Atlantic in England and Germany, are able to see us live now and then when we can get these broadcast.
There actually is – our last one is on our YouTube page right now. And so, they're really fun. You can watch and people can interact. People can ask questions because there's a little chat window on the right-hand side that we don't have a lot of time to look at, but we had our daughter kind of watching it last time. And It's a little strange in one way, but at the same time, it's a really cool thing.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And we do something similar here at the radio station. We've done a few live concerts where we bring people in to the station and then mm-hmm. broadcast it at the same time over mm-hmm. the air. Yeah. So you get some of that really mm-hmm. Spontaneous musicianship mm-hmm. that comes mm-hmm. from interacting with a live audience, but you get to share it with a whole lot of people. Mm-hmm.
We really should talk about what this is in honor of.
That is true.
it's very silly.
It is very silly. For those of you out there who are fans of Cards Against Humanity, you'll note that there was a Kickstarter for them last year. And one of the Kickstarter bonuses that you could apply for was you get 3 minutes as the sole monarch of the sovereign nation of your choice. Basically, you get to make up a country and the guys with Cards Against Humanity went through and scheduled everyone who opted for this. Everyone throughout the course of 2016 who opted for this gets 3 minutes as a monarch. And one of our friends, her name is Marinda, she decided to do this. And her 3 minutes are from 7 o'clock to 7:03 p.m. Thursday, September 29th. And this concert is in honor of Her Majesty, Queen Marinda, first of her name. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Wow. Is she in Ames, too, or elsewhere?
She is in Champaign, Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is her domain?
Why don't you keep talking? I'll look it up because I don't remember at the moment.
That's
it's
okay.
One of those things that we should have had. I've got this. So.
It is.
Cell phones are a wonderful thing. Here we go. Her Majesty, Queen Marinda, first of her name, keeper of the rum, protector of the jet fuel, ruler of the sensible castle in Dunwanley Castle, Townroth, County Cork, requests and requires a musical interlude via Cheshire Moon for her coronation festivities. And so we shall.
Okay. County Cork?
County yep. Cork, apparently.
Well, that sounds awfully realistic.
Some of it seems to be and some of it seems to not be. I would actually have to look this up to find out how much is actually real.
And this Cards Against Humanity, can you say a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. It is a card game. It is a bit like Apples to Apples in that you have the initial idea on one set of cards and the other players respond around you with a second set of cards and they try to make jokes out of whatever this first idea is. Like, say you have Frankenstein as your first idea. Someone could say Frankenstein's cat. It doesn't have to be Frankenstein's monster. It could be Frankenstein's milkshake. But Cards Against Humanity tends to take this particular concept to a slightly darker, let's say more adult concept.
Twisted is a good word.
Twisted is a very good word. It's a lot of fun, but there are several friends of us who have gone through the decks and weeded out the more, let's say, racy of the cards, just to make things a little easier on the players.
Oh, okay.
It is a lot of fun, though.
That does sound really mm-hmm. fun. Wow. Okay. Well, before we do any more talking, let's shut ourselves up and listen. Tune in our ears to what you have for us. Lizzie is on an electric violin. It's a very interesting instrument with basically a fretboard with kind of a structure.
It has a bass structure so that it actually sits on my shoulder the way that a traditional violin would. This is a 5-string, so I can actually go all the way down to viola range, which makes my little heart happy because I started both on violin and cello, so it's like, oh, good, I get my C string back.
And then Eric, you're on something that looks very much like a guitar.
It is very much a guitar. It is a GS Mini, which means it's a little short scale neck. I like small body guitars. This has been my main stage instrument for 3 years now, 2 years.
2 years.
2 years now. It just has a nice, deep, full sound for such a small guitar.
And it's a beautiful wood. It looks like walnut, perhaps?
Mahogany top, I believe. I always forget. I'm so bad at these things.
It is a mahogany top and sides.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right.
And it's very sweet, and it's been all over the place with me the last 2 years.
It's true. What we have today is a song that's going to be on our next album, which, heaven willing, will be coming out in February. And it is called Circus of Dreams.
Come one, come all to the carnival, where embers and cinnamon play. Come in and wander over and under, while paper birds sing in their cage. In tents and stripes of black and white, you'll find wonders magic and strange. But be assured if you wish to return, we're only a wish away. For you see, my dear, it's oh so clear, nothing's quite as it seems. For with the dawn we will be gone, for we are the circus of dreams. A willow tree sighs as blue butterflies hover round silver flame. Unfinished statues still captured in stone, but close, and you might see them change. Wishes captured and written on leaves, red as a harvest moon. Lions grin and fires spin in the colors of a pale afternoon. For you see, my dear, it's why we're here, bouncing your heart on a string. But with the dawn we will be gone, for we are the circus of dreams.
Hehehehe So that was Lizzie Crow and Eric Coleman of Cheshire Moon. This is Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio. I'm Greta Anderson in the studio with them in anticipation of their September 29th concert. And that's through a window called Concert Window.
Yes, it is Concert Window.
Concert Window. And they are putting on a performance in honor of their friend who has become the monarch of a small territory for
three minutes.
And you are invited to watch the concert on Concert Window.
Yes, it is concertwindow.com. You can get there one of two ways. We have a link on the event on our Facebook page, or you can just go to concertwindow.com, search for Cheshire Moon, and you'll find us.
And it's also on our webpage.
It is on our webpage,
it's on our webpage,
yes.
On our events there, cheshiremoon.net.
Okay. I want to know about these white, green, glowing eyes at the end of this song. What was that?
That particular song is based on a book. It is a book about a circus, but it is called The Night Circus. That is the name of the book. And it is a circus that only comes out from dusk till dawn. The tents are in black and white stripe, very Art Deco, very neat. But there is a sinister aspect to the magic. It is very magical. It is very fanciful. There are, of course, you know, clowns and mimes and, you know, lion tamers, etc. But everything has just a slightly black and white, a slightly sinister bend. You never quite know what you're going to find around the next bend when you're going from tent to tent, because it's not set up like, say, a Ringling Brothers circus. It's set up more like a festival where each tent has a different performer or a different vendor or a different kind of food. And so when I read this book, I absolutely fell in love with the entire concept of it, and this song came out of it.
Do you play at festivals such as that? Have you played at Renaissance fairs and things like that?
We don't play at Renaissance fairs specifically, just because our music doesn't tend to fit. It's not period.
Okay.
And
yeah.
It's not more toward the Irish or Scottish bend, and so we can't exactly mold it to be period, so it doesn't quite fit. But
it's a little too electronic, a lot of it, because we do use a lot of stuff to process our sounds when we're playing live generally.
It's true, but we do play at small music festivals. We do play at pagan festivals. We actually just got back from the Greater Chicagoland Pagan Pride, which we go to every year. It is so much fun. He and I both used to live in Chicago, and so we both have a lot of friends there, and it just gives us a cheap excuse to go out and play the music that we love and see the people that we love. Because these festivals aren't just about the music, they're about everybody you get to see.
Of course. So presumably there'll be some people from Chicago tuning into this window concert that you're going to have. Tell us about how you met each other. And like I was saying,
I
as you set
one.
Up, you know, it just seems like you fit together so well.
I get to start this one.
Yes, you do.
Okay, Eric.
A friend of ours named S.J. Tucker, one of the real big movers and shakers in the pagan folk scene. I played with her in like 2005. Lizzie met her a couple years later.
I met her fall of 2006.
Yeah. And, you know, we'd been friends. She had played in Chicago and had said to Lizzie, you know, I am performing at this science fiction convention this weekend. You're coming, right?
I am now.
And that evening she had met a couple friends of mine. And I'm walking down the hall and I see these two friends of mine coming, you know, my way with this really cute woman. And I was just like, wonder who she is. And talked for a moment and didn't think much more of it at that point.
I thought he was really cute.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we both were like, And then at science fiction conventions, there's a whole subset of music called filk, which is science fiction folk music.
Really?
There's a whole worldwide, you know, little subgenre that we're also firmly in.
Yes.
And we have these big music circles at night that start 9 or 10 and run until the last person gives up.
Run until the last person pumpkins, even if that means we have to go to breakfast first.
So I was playing drums in a band at that point, and she sat in back of me. And at a certain point, she sings a song a cappella.
In one of these circles.
Yeah. Now, I'd been writing music for another project, and I didn't know what the project was going to be yet. It didn't fit my little hard rock band. It didn't fit the kind of Loudon Wainwright-esque, you know, wise guy singer-songwriter thing that I was doing, the kind of confessional comedic singer-songwriter thing. I had some music that had this real atmosphere to it and everything, and then I heard this voice. And I turned around and I looked at her and went, "You and I have to talk."
I thought I offended him
because
he turned around and he was so intense and he was not smiling. He practically had to chase me down the hall.
I did chase her down the hall
of that hotel because I thought I had upset him. I thought I had done something wrong. And then he turns around and he says to me,
"I said, you know, I have this band that I want to get going, and originally someone local here was going to be writing all the words for it. I was going to write the music, and I was looking for this voice. I heard this amazing voice. And then I started reading some of her fiction and went, okay, I think we found the lyricist." And she got up on stage with me at one of my solo shows and sang a couple songs. And she was terrified. She was shaking. Oh. She was so cute. There was also a photo from that show. There's a couple, but there's one in particular that is kind of born very strongly on kind of our story. Is I'm ranting and raving with my arms up in the air, and she's looking at me in a way that I have described as the way that everyone hopes somebody's going to look at them at some point in their life. She'd figured it out.
Everyone in the room at that moment
except me.
For you.
Yeah.
It wasn't until 8 months later that I finally sat him down, and I kid you not, these were the words that came out of my mouth: "You don't get it, do you?"
And my reply was, "Get what?" Because I was completely clueless. My thought is that she'd never be interested in me. And that was, you know, 6 years and a month ago.
That's correct.
Oh, it's a wonderful story. We're talking with Lizzie Crowe and Eric Coleman of Cheshire Moon. Once again, you're going to have this online concert at 7 p.m. on Thursday evening, concertwindow.com, and you can go to the Facebook page of Cheshire Moon or to their website, cheshiremoon.net, to find out details. And what do you do here in Ames?
We both have full-time jobs. He works down in Ankeny. I work in Des Moines. And so we travel south every day, and we come back home. We have described Ames as a wonderful place to retreat to. It's a wonderful little town. We really enjoy it here. It is quiet. It is in touch with itself, you know, as a college town, as, you know, being basically cut out of, you know, the fields and the woods of Iowa. And it's a really beautiful place.
Well, that's a nice way to put it. And here on Local Talk, we like to feature local gems like yourselves of our community that people might not know about unless they tuned into our station, 89.1 FM.